In a dystopian technological realm full of confusion and disarray, three heroes emerged with a message to the masses. The year was 2004. Googlebot struck first, scorching the SERPs. The webmasters fought back, but the battle was brutal and decisive. When the smoke cleared, the webmasters were divided and defeated. Until now, a resistance has started, and the bots have been answered. Tune in to join the resistance and learn to fight the good fight and claim your place in the SEO world. From the minds at Mind Development and Design, welcome to the Mind Your SEO podcast. Be prepared to unlock the secrets of Google rankings and dominate your competition with the knowledge provided by your SEO guides, David Brown, Mark Boyd, and Russ Randolph. Mind Your SEO.
Hey there, and welcome to the Mind Your SEO podcast. I'm Mark Boyd with Dave Brown and Russ Randolph. It's good to have you here this week. And after the spine tingling cliffhanger we left you with on the last program about local SEO, what's the difference between Google Plus and Google Places? Is there a difference? What do you need? What do you don't need? We put our heads together, and basically Russ and I bombarded Dave's cranium to get as much information out of it as we can, and we are now going to extract it here before your very ears.
I like that. Paints a picture.
It doesn't it?
It really does.
Everybody wants to see your gray matter, Dave. I mean, you just got to live with that.
Okay. I have to do away with the Just for Men because I am almost all gray. I keep my Movember beard going from last November. I'll be Santa Claus this next year. So,
well, what's up with this picture of you on Skype where you're licking the screen? You don't look gray at all.
That picture is from 7 years ago, and that's
it is.
That's for International Window Lickers Day. So, and that was just for your guys' eyes. There is a picture of me licking. I wasn't actually licking a window. I had a glass top desk, so I finagled a camera underneath my desk and cleaned my desk first because I'm a germaphobe, and then I licked it and took a picture and put it on the days. I also have a picture of me circulating somewhere with a tinfoil hat, and my most notable pose is the Dr. Evil pinky to the finger or pinky to the corner of my mouth, which Jan Bristos of SEO Workers always reminds me to change that picture because it looks like I've had something stuck in my teeth for the last 5 years. So apparently Austin Powers not as big in Germany as it is in the U.S. Anywho.
And Dave wants everybody listening to know that he does not have anything stuck in his teeth, much less for the past 5 years. That would be just gross.
I brush and floss. I occasionally shower, too. Anywho, let's get on the topic. We're going to do a little local Google Local 101 or SEO 101 today. So that is a great question. And with Google, you know, back to the question because we've talked so long, what's the difference between Google Local and Google Places? Who knows? By the time this podcast airs, it could be the exact same thing. It could be slightly different. Google's really been pushing Google Plus. You know, sometimes we get used to doing things the same way for our clients over and over. I realize any small business owners that are listening to this for their first time, we'll make sure that the links are on the site so you can find them. You need to go and claim your business. Quick side story. Alex Bruner, who used to work with me, got really teed off at somebody for not really bad customer service. The guy was just a jerk and told him to F off and get out of his parking lot. He was closed for the day. Although the Google Places said that they were open today, and we went down to grab something. I don't even remember what it was at this time, but he hadn't claimed his listing on, I believe it was Yelp. Alex claimed it and took a snapshot of the back end of my male dog, who had rather large dangly bits. And that was the company's profile picture for a year and a half before he finally figured out to take it down. So it is of paramount importance, folks, that you claim your listings where you can.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Right. This doesn't take a lot of time. We'll get into all of those this hour or this half hour. Let's just go right off the top, guys. Boyd, you've done a stellar job on Google Local for all of our clients. In fact, for some of our clients, you Google them or their company name, and the first 7 links are all our client with pictures and photos and maps and their phone numbers in 2 places, their address in 2 places, their open hours, their reviews, just all kinds of information right there. You can't even see a competitor on the above the fold. So that's great when that happens. Why don't you go through real quickly how you're setting up the process you use? You've done it much more recently than I, so.
Well, you know, I think the most important thing, and you pointed this out to me in the beginning, was fill everything out. Be thorough with it. And I think the trap a lot of people fall into with their Google Places account is and their local listings in general, is people get logged into whatever forum it is and they realize that it's actually going to be some work to get in there, to get some pictures up there, to type in all this information again. And it's important to fill everything out completely. From the time we're in school till we're adults, we're inundated with forms that we have to fill out. And we're constantly being told, oh, you don't need to worry about filling this part out, or you don't need to worry about filling that part out. And we kind of get used to doubting what we have to do. All this information is expected of us, but do we really need to do it? And it's almost like we're trained to question that and trained to not want to give all the information. And it's the opposite when you're filling these things out, especially with your Google Places account, because there's so much that you can include in there. Or your I'll call it Google Local, because as you said at the top of the show, Dave, Google Local and Google Places, I mean, they're virtually one and the same anymore, and which is what Google wants. It's bringing the whole thing together. But there are spots for videos up there, spots for pictures, spots for a link to your site, spots for your business hours. I think the most important thing for people to think about when they're doing this, or when they have an SEO do this, is to make sure everything is filled out completely. Google's going to love you more if you're using their product and you're putting the time and effort to fill in all the information that they're asking of you. And also, you got to think about how you're going to show up when you come up in the organic searches. If your Google Local profile is filled out properly, you're going to look great. There's going to be picture, there's going to be video, there's going to be, you know, the Google Map section where people can get directions to where you are, your hours, the whole bit. You look that much better, and you want all of that information to be available to people without having to go through too much effort to search for it, because people have gotten lazy over the years. We live in a point and click society where people expect that information to be in front of them. You know, it shouldn't be such a big deal to scroll down or to do whatever you have to do to find that phone number or find those business hours. But as you know, clean design and proper placement and all of that have become more important as we've gotten better at web design and web development and online listings. It's that much more important to make sure that you've dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's and gotten that information up there. And I could drone on and on about it, but the most important thing with your Google Local listing, start at the top, work your way down. Don't ask, oh, do I really need to put this information in there? If there's a blank for it, unless you absolutely don't have an answer for it,
right,
then you want to fill it out. Do you think that's fair?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that people have asked me too, I mean, I know there's a section in there for coupons, and that may not work for everybody or for every business. But if you sit down, put your thinking cap on for a couple of minutes, you know, you could give away a free hour of consultation. You have a lot better chance of closing a client if they're coming in with a Google coupon. Hey, I'd like to use my free hour of consultation. Hey, I got some really good information. I'd like to go ahead and hire you. That's happened. I used to have when I was doing strictly consulting, I had a free hour consultation, and I had several people take advantage of that. And after talking for an hour and going over their site, and sometimes the calls went longer than an hour, which was fine, You know, hey, you really know what you're talking about. This is great. We don't have the time to do it. Can you do it for us? What would you charge? There's a sale, right? So find a way to offer a coupon if you can. There's a spot for videos. If you guys don't have videos, put some videos up. A lot of people don't realize this, but YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world, and it is also a Google property. So Google is the number one and number two search engine in the world. So if there's a spot for videos and you don't have any, think about putting some videos up. But first things first, get it set up. And if you don't have the videos, go back and put them up once you've made some videos. And I do want to backtrack just slightly. You are going to need a Google account to do this, and the Google accounts are free. I would also set up a Google Analytics account so you can see what your efforts have done. Okay, so I took a half an hour on Saturday, and I sat down, and I filled out this entire form, and I got my... you know, they either send you a card in the mail, or you can do it to your phone number, your business phone number, which is also a really odd question. I've been asked more than once, do I have to use my real phone number? If it's your business and you want to sell stuff, then yeah, please do use your real phone number. Just bringing it up because I've been asked several times.
Oh, it's true. I mean, people are wary, though. I think that's really an indication of just how skeptical and wary people are.
Right. So make sure you have Google Analytics set up on your site so you can see, hey, look, 20 people came in through Google Local. Spending that half hour on Saturday instead of cleaning my garage, wife may be a little peeved off at you, but you're sending traffic to your site, which is, you know, paying the bills, right? So that's an important thing to do, and you're going to need that Google account to set up the Google Local anyways. So two birds, one stone type of thing, right? But
indeed.
Yes, very important. Some of the other ones, well, I touched briefly on the dog picture on Yelp. There is a link, biz.yelp.com/claiming. That's how you claim your business. Or you could just look up your business name. If Yelp has you indexed, it'll say business owner. Click here to claim your listing. You can just simply click that link. Claim your listing. One of the things, I use Yelp all the time because we've got a lot of great places to eat around here. And I enjoy reading the reviews from other people.
I like the reviews on Yelp better than on the other forums. I mean, no forum's perfect, but I've found more useful reviews on Yelp than I've found on, like, TripAdvisor and some of the other ones.
Sure. So make sure that you go in there and claim it. And one of my biggest pet peeves, if you have a smartphone, take a picture of your freaking menu, for Pete's sakes. my favorite teriyaki place in town... The only menu that they have online is one that I submitted to Urban Spoon 4 years ago. They still haven't taken the time to put their menu through a scanner or take a high-def picture. I took it with iPhone 3, I believe. That shows you how, well, geez, it had to be more than 4 years ago, probably 7 years ago when I was still on the iPhone 3. So it's not even a good camera, and I took it sitting at the table because... You know, if you're like me and I bring home a menu or anything like that, it ends up in the junk drawer and I can never find the dang thing when I need it. I always go to Google and then, you know, search best whatever food in Bellingham Wah, you know. So, and it's funny too because I keep running across that. There's the menu. So other places have linked to the pictures of my menu that I put up. So please put up a menu. Put up, you know, anything that would help people know your, you know, your website, your phone number, your open hours. If you guys have any kind of specials, you know, on Wednesday we do this, on Thursdays it's da 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 or whatever. If you have specials, get in there and treat that like it's a billboard. It really is an online electronic billboard for you. So people are there, they're reading it. Yelp has tons of traffic. It's not just for the food business. They, you know, they have ratings on contractors, on travel places, you know, just bed and breakfasts, on all kinds of stuff. So get in there. Again, like what to reiterate what Boyd said, fill out as much as you can. And then I'll touch real briefly on this because it is important for ORM, which is online reputation management. Sometimes, and I've seen it all over Reddit, people are like, oh my gosh, death to Yelp, death to Yelp. We're having a hard time combating all these poor reviews. Well, first of all, if there's a lot of poor reviews, then there's probably something wrong at the business level. If you're getting a ton of poor reviews, Or it could be a case of negative SEO. Your competitors hired an SEO to go out and negative SEO is where another company or your competitor will hire an SEO to say bad things about you, to diss your business, type of thing. I can't believe I just said diss on the show, but I did.
We forgive you.
That being said, when people go out and say something, the best thing that you can do on Yelp is approach it head on. Have the owner come out, say something. Do not be confrontational. Have a conversation. Oh, look, I'm really sorry you had this experience. You know, come on down. The next meal is on us, or we'll fix this, or we'll fix that. Do your best to fix the problem online. And any rational thinking person that is reading those reviews and sees that the owner of the company has come in and addressed an issue or a negative review, if you do it in such a way that you're doing your best to put the customer first, everybody else that reads that goes, hey, the CEO came in and apologized, said he'd do everything he could to fix it, and this guy is still just being a meathead and blah, 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 yada, yada on the web. He's a D-bag. I actually like this company because the CEO's a stand-up guy and he stands behind what he's selling. So for online reputation management purposes, then you don't have to go in, create an account, and worry about all this other stuff. It's already done. You can handle it. Be out front. So I didn't hear the bell, but I did hear a ding. So with that...
So the fries are done.
Yeah, fries are done. Ding, fries are done. We're going to break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Google, 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 Google. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these commercial interest endorsements.
Hey, this is Mark Boyd from the Mind Your SEO podcast. You know, there's no worse feeling than someone telling you how bad your website looks, how hard it is to navigate, how busy and amateurish the design is, how, like Bono, they still haven't found what they're looking for. Well, very few businesses know that feeling because people are nice and they won't tell you. They just won't stay on your site and they won't come back. And if there's a problem, you'll only know because your traffic is low. Many of you are making do with a website that you know fits this description, but you don't think you can afford something better. Wrong. Out-of-Sites from Mind Development and Design will give your site the sharp, clean, professional web presence you need. And you don't have to be a technical genius to put your own fresh content and blog posts on there because it's WordPress and we'll show you how to use it. Seriously, we'll show you. Build your own contact forms with ease. Block spammers with a Kismet, probably the best filter there is. Get more love from Google with the Yoast SEO plugin and cutting-edge RDFA, something your competition probably doesn't know about but will by year's end. And before I forget, Out-of-Sites are responsive design. They'll look great on any device from PC to smartphones. Ditch those mobile sites, people. They're old news and Google doesn't like them. You want your website to look sharp like Joe Jackson, to navigate well like Lemmy, to get found like Rebecca Black, and to have responsive design so you get better response. Visit MindDevelopmentAndDesign.com or call 717-517-8383 and talk to one of our way cool, groovy out-of-sight people to find out how to make your business out-of-sight.
Mind your SEO.
Sometimes cheap is good, but isn't your website too important to trust to some cheap web host? Like a really great cup of fresh coffee, sometimes it's worth paying a few cents more. If you're tired of downtime and slow performance, it's time for a better web host. Fresh Roasted Hosting's accelerated web hosting means your pages load faster and can handle more traffic, while their virtual and dedicated servers mean you've got room to grow. Best of all, every hosting service is backed by 24-hour support and a 99.9% uptime SLA. And thanks to their Tier 2 data centers in Texas and Pennsylvania, Fresh Roasted Hosting delivers a full range of hosting solutions. Accelerated web hosting, domain names, private servers, even co-location services. They've got you covered. Your website is too important to trust to some cheap web host. Upgrade to Fresh Roasted Hosting today and use promo code FRESH2014 to save 10% on any new hosting service. Visit FreshRoastedHosting.com today. Terms and conditions apply. See FreshRoastedHosting.com for complete details.
Glad you stuck around. We are too. Now back to the Mind Your SEO podcast from the minds at Mind Development and Design.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. We're going to dive into Yahoo and is it still relevant? And yes, it is. And regardless of your personal feelings regarding Yahoo, it's a good idea to tap into that. So it's very similar to Yelp and Google Plus. You'll our places. You'll need to set up an account, and it's easy. It's free. And then just go through, and you want to fill out the form. And again, you want to make sure that you fill it out completely and as detailed as you can. And it's a good idea to slap on a little coupon on there for some free consulting or whatnot.
It's a nice little rhyme, man. Slap on the coupon.
Yeah.
That's good. We're going to make a rapper out of you yet, dude.
Well, there already is an SEO rapper in the industry, so let's nix that.
Okay.
Yeah. Darn it.
Yeah. Take him.
And then you want to see, you know, to get a better idea, you want to see what your competition is doing and how they're categorizing, what their subcategories are, and take note of that, and that'll give you an idea of how you can fill out and put the proper information in there.
Yeah, and that's then not once real well organized at all. That is a bit of a mess. Yahoo, I haven't been in there lately, but back when I had to do that, that was...
Is that Yahoo in general is a bit of a mess, or...?
Well, no, they're local listings, which is at listings.local.yahoo.com, which is, that's a lot of dots. No, it was just really difficult. A lot of times, if you don't find the right category or the right subcategory, your listing will not be approved, so... that's one of the tricks I always used to use. Who are your top three competitors in town? You know, if they're selling locally or whatever. And then if they're in there, then you can look at their category and subcategory. And, ooh, cool, this one was already approved. So you know the moderators at Yahoo approved that one in that category and subcategory. So that's the one you should pick. Because sometimes it's like, wait, do I go national? Do I go global? Where do I start from? So... It's probably easiest just to do a quick search for your competitors, find out where they're at, and when you get to that part in the setup, just use the same one they're in, so you're right next to them. So.
Yep. And if you're able to complete the three steps, you'll want to go back through and kind of preview that and make sure that all your info is correct, and then you just submit it by hitting the agree button, and you're rocking with Yahoo.
Rocking with Yahoo.
Rocking with Yahoo.
There you go. They are still a search engine company.
And you were saying earlier too, when we were off the air, though, Dave. And I think it's important to point out to people they are still, as you said, they're still relevant. The smaller search engines, no, they're not Google, and of course the whole running joke is Bing. But it's not Google. But yet, you know, you don't want to ignore these search engines either. It's easy to focus totally on Google, and yes, they do have the vast majority of the search engine market. But don't forget these other ones because they are a piece of the picture too.
Right. Look, if it's free and it's going to take you 20, 30 minutes to do it, if you could put up a huge billboard outside of your store, out of your brick and mortar, and have people come in because they're seeing that huge sign... this is free. It's not going to cost you $6,000 for front signage, you know. It's going to take 30 minutes of your time, maybe an hour of your time. Go in and do it. You know, set it up in little buckets if you want to. Look, I'll start off with Google. I'll then do Yahoo and Bing and Yelp and Urban Spoon or whatever. There's all kinds of, what's that other one? Well, they charge for that one. Angie's List. They charge for you to be in there. So I was trying to show everybody how to do the free stuff, all the free stuff that you can do to help your site do better in your local listings. So, yeah, and you just mentioned Bing, but it's not Google, Bing. this one, and I haven't done this for a few years, but I do remember how catastrophically bad the experience was on that. You have to click the Get Started Now button, fill out your company info, and hit search. If your company's not found, click the Add New Listing button. And then you need a Windows Live ID to do this, which I didn't have at the time. I haven't used MSN Messenger for a decade. Then you jump through a whole bunch of hoops, get into the business portal section. Oh, that's back when it was beta. So it's probably been fixed by now. But you have to add your info a bunch of times. Probably doesn't hurt to have a notepad up with all the information you'd like, so you can do some copy-pasting if you're trying to make sure it's all the same all the way through. And then you have to go through, just like the directory section on Yahoo, find out what section it needs to go in, category, subcategory, things of that nature. And Bing also allows for a Facebook page, so you can copy-paste that from your Facebook page. And rinse and repeat for your company Twitter account. Then you can upload that company logo and hit next. And then I believe you can put up to 5 different specialties. And then you can put mobile, photos, more details, blah de blah. And then you get a verification that is mailed to you within 7 to 10 business days. And when you get that postcard from Bing, if you haven't forgotten about it, go log back in, put your verification code in, and I believe within 24 hours, your listing will be live on Bing. So I really don't have much against Bing. It's just, it's not the search engine I use. I do have friends that work there. I apologize for constantly making the "but it's not Google" joke. I still think it's kind of funny. But it is more complicated. At least it was the last time I ran through that to get those to get the same results you're going to get from Google within a phone call and 20 minutes of typing something in. I prefer the way that they do it. So, anywho, that being said, we've missed the big social media one. We did just bring it up in the Bing. Bring it up in the Bing.
Bada Bing.
Bada Bing.
Sorry, that was lame.
No, that's all good. let's pop into Facebook. Boyd, what do you got for us there? I love Facebook, by the way.
I've got a love-hate relationship with Facebook personally, but as far as, man, where do we even start when we talk about Facebook? Because there's so much emphasis on getting likes and all that, but Dave, you and I have had this discussion so many times, and I think the most important thing for people to remember is don't get hung up on how many likes your competitor has versus yourself if you're just getting into the game. I mean, it's one thing if you've been lazy and you haven't been working your Facebook page, but if you have, you're going to naturally build a readership, build a following, and get more likes. But the trap that people fall into is they're lazy and they don't do it, or maybe they just it was one of those things that got lost in the shuffle. Then all of a sudden they see that they're a competitor from across town or across the country, depending on what your business is. But they'll see that one of their chief competitors has just a bazillion likes on Facebook. And it's at those vulnerable moments when they get that lovely email that we have all gotten at one time or another telling us that, you know, hey, for $5 we can get you 10,000 likes on Facebook. And to quote the great philosopher Dennis Miller, 2 of crap is crap, and 10,000 of crap is even more crap. The most important thing you can do is slow and steady wins the race with that. You have to be active on your Facebook profile page. You have to consistently post new relevant information up there. It's okay to have some auto posts from your blog, blog page, because it's easy to set up, especially in WordPress, to where every time you have a new blog post go live, it automatically posts an announcement on Facebook, on Twitter, on you know, whatever of your social media. And that's all good, but you don't want to rely solely on that, because there's no personal message in that. There's a link to your website, to your blog post, which is great because you want readership, you want people there. But you also need to have some personal notes in there so they know that there's a human being behind your Facebook page. And it's that interaction that builds your following naturally. Because, you know, do you want to spend $5 for 10,000 10,000 likes from people who could care less about your business, or would you rather have 10 than 20 than 30 than 40 than 50, building slowly, getting likes from people who actually are interested in whatever product or service that you're offering, and are engaged with what you're writing up there.
Right.
And
well, you know the answer to that already. You go for the real people to like.
Absolutely.
It's not too terribly difficult to pop in and go, oh, wow, these guys set up a Facebook page yesterday and they have 20,000 likes to their page, all from people in different countries. I'm English-speaking, live in the United States, have my whole life. All from non-English-speaking people. I can't understand, the hieroglyphics in their name. I know that's probably bad, but you get my point. Can't understand who or what or, wow, I thought these guys were U.S.-based. That's pretty cheesy. So you do want to make sure that you have a Facebook page for your business. The business pages are great. The thing that's most important to me with Facebook, they launched deals back in 2011. And Facebook deals are great. And we've used them to varying degrees of success. Some of them extremely well, others, wasn't such a great deal in the first place. That's why it didn't fare so well. But you've probably seen people in your friends list say, so-and-so checked in at whatever winery or whatever bistro or Starbucks or whatever. You know, we have Starbucks across the street from each other over here. Seattle area.
For those of you who don't know, Dave's based out of Seattle. So back when they Seattle. Out where they know what coffee's supposed to taste like.
Yeah, I don't. Not a Starbucks fan anyways. But that being said, when people do go to check in on their smartphones, it'll say nearby places and there's deals. And on Facebook's own page where they're talking about this, like Gap, if you were next to Gap, they were giving out 10,000 pairs of jeans to the first 10,000 people that claimed the giving blue jeans to the first 10,000 customers to claim their deal. American Eagle Outfitters offering 20% off. So it's a cool little way to do it without being a coupon clipper. And it's a great way to get people to walk in your door. We did one here locally where there's a Baskin-Robbins ice cream parlor right next to, it's about five business facades down from one of the big movie theaters. And if you get within a certain area or people are checking in or whatever, buy one scoop, get one scoop free. People were going through that Baskin-Robbins like mad, getting the free scoop and whatever, and then going to the movies. So that was a great one. All kinds of different things that you could do. So if you
can I interject something here real quick, sure. Too, Dave, because I'm loving these examples that you're bringing up here, because these are tangible examples that people can actually feel. If you're a restaurant owner and you're listening, please, for the sake of the children, don't have your deal or your coupon be 10% off of your final check. It drives me crazy when I see this, because most people, if that percentage is not above 20%, it doesn't even register. Because you get to like 25%, most people know that 25% is a quarter of whatever the final total is. But 10%, I've seen 10%, and I've even seen 15%. And like it or not, it's such a low percentage that A, it almost looks like you don't even care, you don't really want to offer anything, and B, it looks like an afterthought, which kind of plays into the same sort of thing. People can't really comprehend a 10% or a 15% discount on a restaurant ticket, because it really doesn't sound like a whole lot, unless your end ticket price is high. It really isn't very much, but I just wanted to throw that in there, because that's something I've run into for years.
Well, and anytime we've consulted any restaurants, I've always said, give away a free appetizer with the order or with the purchase of an
entree. Oh, absolutely.
Because a free appetizer, hey, that's something I can put in my mouth. All right, 10%. Well, I don't know what my total bill is going to be. You're right, and that. Something like that is a lot of fun. You can put in the most badass hot wings in town with any entree. You're going to get a basket of six of them or whatever. Put something in there. And again, only people that are into using Facebook as social media to check into places. Some people use Foursquare, some people use Facebook, some people use, you know, whatever the case may be, or they check in on Twitter or at such and such, whatever. The idea is, for those people that are using Facebook, and Facebook is the largest social network in the world, that report just came out today. Google Plus and Twitter are now tied, which kind of surprises me.
Yeah.
Good job, Google. You're getting up there. So anyways, the deal section of Facebook, well worth it. You don't have anything to lose. You can shut that down at any time if you're like, hey, we're just getting a bunch of people coming in here to bother us or whatever. You set your deal up wrong. Put some forethought into it. Use it. It's great. It's new tech. Everybody's walking around with a smartphone nowadays. So very cool. And that can bring in some business to a local, you know, brick and mortar. So very cool. I would use it. You know, it's not really something you use for web dev and design and SEO. Come on in and we'll not punch you in the face, I guess. I don't know.
Well, what if you were expecting to be punched in the face? You could have some people pretty ticked off at you.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to be punched in the face, and you're telling me I'm not?
Right.
Come on. Well,
we did just discuss. So that's it for Facebook. I would get in there and check out the deals. Those are very good. Twitter, if you don't know what the Twitter is yet, you need to get it figured out. You should try and get the best Twitter handle that you can for your business and set up an RSS feed. So if anybody mentions your business, you're going to get an email. And find out when people are talking about you, your key phrase pops up, you're going to get an email. Talk to them. That's a lot of times people go on. If you go on and say, Comcast sucks, I can't believe Comcast, whatever, the Comcast Cares team is going to be in touch with you in about 5 minutes. Great customer service. They'll ask you to add them as a friend, and then they'll direct message you, get your information. They'll call you, so you don't have to sit on the phone and wait and press 1 for this or 3 for that or press the pound key 72 times while typing out Ganesha is great to get the right customer service rep. They'll call you and fix your problem. It's awesome. So
they'll even sit across from your house in an unmarked vehicle with tinted windows and binoculars inside.
But Twitter and Newegg and AT&T, and there's a lot of companies. ThinkGeek is one of the great ones. They're using this very well. So get on Twitter, have a conversation. Do not go out there and post links to your products 15 times a day. That's called spamming. Nobody likes a spammer.
Amen.
That being said, I'll just hit up one more real quick one. Foursquare. That was a lot bigger a few years ago. I know a lot of people have stopped using it for security reasons. There's even websites to find out because this information is published, right? Going on vacation. Oh, where did they check in last? Okay, their coordinates are here. So they're gone for 2 weeks. Burglars were going after people's houses from using Foursquare. Sometimes people have little Foursquare check-in things. You know, you can be the mayor of this barbecue place if you check in 32 times in 1 week. Well, that's great. Probably your cardiologist would hate you for doing that, but...
Hey, Mr. Mayor, while you were checking in from 32 different places, we were raiding your mansion.
Yeah, so anywho, go out, and this is just a real brief list. We hit on the big ones, Google, Facebook, Twitter, Yahoo, and Bing. Make sure that you're set up there. Those are free places for you to put your information out. Those links do help. There's almost always a spot where you can put a link in pointing back to your site. Everybody, are links dead? No, a link from Google pointing back to your website is a good link to have. Please go and get that. Even, you know, we do some paid directory work. We always tell people Yahoo Directory. That's a great directory to be in. Costs $300 a year to be in it. But if your competitors are in there, don't you think you should be there as well? People aren't going out and doing Yellow Pages anymore. My kids are all tall enough to sit at the table, so we don't need the booster seats that they drop off at the front door every once in a while.
That is dreadful, but it's so true.
Yeah, well, it's horrible, too. You know, I think I read something, 87% of those are being recycled. What is the point of cutting down the trees in the first place if we're just going to recycle? Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I actually used a phone book, because there's really nothing in the phone book you can't find online.
Right. iPhone 5, you hit a button. I hit a button in my car while I'm driving. Where's the nearest blah-de-blah? Siri will tell me where the nearest thing is, tap into my GPS and give me directions to it.
That reminds me, I got to grab my phone book. It's been sitting out next to my mailbox for about 3 months. It's waterlogged. I got to throw that thing away.
Log. Yeah. So, you know, it might be fun at the gun range. See if we can blow them up or something. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
A podcast, and we're going to have the NSA hailing down on top of us. Anywho, so the moral of the story is, for your Google local, for your local online optimization, you need to get out there. We will do our best. We're going to put together a blog post to go with this this podcast. We'll do our best to put down a list of some of the best places that are current today that you can go and get signed up, go through the process. It is a daunting task if you go and do all of them in one day. Do one a week, and at the end of, you know, 2.5 months from now, you're going to be all over the place. Your website's going to be doing better in the search engines for local searches. And you can do that for free. There's some SEO companies out there. It's going to run you anywhere from $500 to $2,500 to have a company go out and do all this for you. So if you got the money and you don't have the time, hire somebody to do it. Make sure you ask quality questions. Which ones are you going to put me in? How are you going to represent me? Blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. You should absolutely take control of your Twitter, your Google Plus, and your Facebook page. You need to be the one in charge of that, making sure that things are being done the way that you want your business to be represented on the worldwide interwebs. That being said, for the group at Mind Your SEO Podcast, this is David.
This is Mark.
And this is Russ.
We'll see you next time.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, remember, turn on, tune in, and rank.